Coming up on the Radio Affliction, Earth Hour goes by with a snowblower and how you can slap chop your way to loving your nuts. Coming up on the Radio Affliction.
It's now time for America's favorite radio program, the David Williams Radio Affliction. Now here's your host and modulator of the David Williams Radio Affliction, Peter Clay.
And welcome back to the Radio Affliction, everyone. I am your host, Peter Clay. Once again, joined by Robert King. CK is on vacation. He'll be back if I feel like having on. We give him the night shift, so he's not in the office during the days when we're doing this show.
Yeah.
Hello, Robert. How's it going?
Not too bad. Pete, yourself?
Not too bad. Before we get to Robert and all the fun stuff, I think is that, well, actually, we talked about in the last show about taking donations, and I don't like to use that word because it sounds like, you know, you would get like a tax deduction or anything like that, which you don't. You're just giving freely out of love. But taking
donations. I'm sorry to hear Pete being tased.
Right, and it's, so saving up, taking donations for a taser. We've rounded up some spare change. We've come up with how much you got there?
Looks like
36 cents. So we're on our way to a taser, everyone. Yes. So there is a donate button. I'm not worried about donations at this point. I'm worried about comments, which you can make at comments@radioaffliction.com. Or if you have anything bad to say, robertking@radioaffliction.com. And also subscribers, which you can subscribe through iTunes. You can find us there. Just go into the iTunes store and type in Radio Affliction. You'll find us. It's a free subscription. And or just through the website, which is radioaffliction.com. Also, before we get in, I think the time has come on as we've, you know, on to like 10, 11, 12 shows now, but this is going to be volume 9.2 because we're going to have a special thing for episode 10.
Saving up for episode 10.
So we're saving for that. A bunch of thank yous for which this show probably never would have even started. The first person I'd like to thank, it drives me nuts, but has provided a lot of information. I want to thank Leo Laporte for his show, Call for Help, and The Screensavers, and then his various podcasts since he's left Tech TV, or Tech TV left him, showing you how to do things, how to make technology easy to do, and invariably any of the things that I incorporate into the Radio Affliction, I got from one of his shows, the ideas. I mean, they're, all these things have been out there, but it was his shows that made it easy to do. I mean, he's a complete idiot, but he's a fun guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that like me,
yeah,
type of guy. So, and then second, archive.org for most of the Radio Afflictions and the videos, they've hosted it and have never asked for anything. They've let us use their bandwidth. And I also want to thank archive.org because they are making a complete archive of the entire internet. So you can go back, say, 10 years ago and find the original radioaffliction.com, the website that with all the different colors, and then my blonde hair. And so
100 years from now, chocolate brain will still be safe in
internet. Yes, through
good to know.
Through archive.org. And to a certain degree, now TalkShoe. TalkShoe has been a complete pain in the rump, but they do are helpful, and it's new technology, and it's it's coming along. And but archive.org, Leo Laporte. And I also want to thank people who have made comments on the, like at comments@radioaffliction.com or just on the site itself, as in last episode, which you were a part of, Robert. Laurel Comfield commented about our show. She didn't apparently doesn't like Twitter, but she is definitely believes that Pluto is a planet, even though it isn't, although it is in Illinois. But and her comments are available at radioaffliction.com. She's very, I can understand, and we can get into this some other time too, but because we will be also today following your questions today at Twitter, twitter.com/radioaffliction. Got a couple already, and I was frustrated with Twitter because I have all these followers, and none of them ever hardly reply back to me if there's something that I put up there. And so what I think of Twitter is I think of like driving on a freeway. is that everyone's trying to get somewhere, but no one's really, you know, cares about the other person. You know? So it's how's the best thing to put this? I'm not trying to be demeaning or anything like that, but it's
kind of one way.
One way is, how can it be about you if it's about me? So how can I put something out onto Twitter if everyone else is tweeting what they're, you know, what they're doing, which is actually what Twitter's all about. It's just asking, what are you doing? So,
sure.
But that's just my opinion on that. But we do get some questions every now and then. But I was getting so frustrated, and I was getting tired of it until I found Twitterfall. Now, Twitterfall is a nice little site that shows all the latest tweets, and you can do it on various different subjects. And it's like the Matrix. It all comes falling down vertically, and you see all these different tweets and it's, you know, based on, you know, the subjects, either the trends that are the most popular throughout Twitter through hashtags or through your own custom searches.
I once got my hands on some bad hashtags.
Dude.
That's a weekend I'll never forget.
Speaking of weekend, this last weekend, we celebrated Earth Hour. Did you celebrate that? Did you at 7:30 turn your lights off for 1 hour? And he's thinking too hard there.
No, I was at work. What am I going to do? Turn off
everything? You didn't do it at the office here? I thought I told you to do that here.
Yeah.
Okay, about that.
No.
Told you to get that commercial done, and you didn't get that done either. But anyway, until Monday. But anyway. Cool moment. I'm going over to a friend's house. The girls wanted to go into the hot tub. And so the guy said, okay. It's just like, okay. So Bunny Man's got a hot tub. So we're at his house, and we all get together having some dinner and some cocktails, some nice fresh bottled water. So we're hanging around the table and come across that it's 7:30, and some smart aleck I don't know who that would be, says, hey, it's Earth Hour. So, you know, a couple of people, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So we turn off all the lights and light up candles, and we play games, and we chit-chat for an hour. And that's fine for about the first 15, 20 minutes. And then after about a half an hour, is it 8:30 yet? Hey, you said 15 minutes ago, type of thing. So, but we celebrated Earth Hour, and we felt special, and it was wonderful. And then girls went in the hot tub, and fun was had by all. However, and then the next morning this was during a freak snowstorm, by the way. I don't know how your weather was like last weekend, but here it's was like March, 27th or something like that, and freak snowstorm comes in, drops off 3 to 5 inches of snow.
Yeah, just overnight.
Overnight, what the heck, you know?
Here's a gift.
Yeah, Mother Nature's thing. Ha ha!
Yeah, you only thought it was going to be snow.
Yeah.
Sucker.
So, and I get up, and I sit back, and I notice then that one of my neighbors has shoveled. I'm like, oh, come on, are you serious? Then a series of snow blowers go off.
Well, this would have been what, Sunday morning?
Sunday morning, 10 a.m. about. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm just sitting back, and so I'm trying not to laugh. I go on Twitter, and I'm going, I'm trying not to laugh at my neighbors. The next thing I do then is I go to the Weather Channel and look at the temperatures and say, see 38 today and 45 tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I, in my mind,
nature giveth, nature taketh away.
Immediately. And so here we have Earth Hour one night, and, you know, fun is had by all, saving the planet, cities across the country and the world, saving energy. And here are these boneheads that are going and throwing off their snow blowers, putting carbon back in the for something that, when we got back from a bowling tournament later that day, all gone.
Mm-hmm.
The snow is gone. And the energy waste, just the effort of getting up and putting something on to go out and snow blow. And it's just amazing to me, because what this is a symptom of, this is how these neighborhoods go. And is that when you hear one snowblower going off, you know, it sets off a chain reaction. This happens again in the summer, too, with lawn mowing. I'm guilty of it sometimes. I like starting it. If I don't start it, then I don't want to be a part of it. It's just like, oh, Frank's mowing his lawn. I better mow my lawn, or else I'm going to look like, you know, his lawn's going to look better than my lawn, and blah, 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 blah. So I love my neighbors. Everyone gets along. No one throws dog poop at anyone or anything. Everyone cleans up after themselves, and everyone says hi when you drive by and all that stuff. But this was the most moronic thing I ever saw in my life. How was your weekend?
Yeah, it came, it went.
Yeah?
I likened Earth Hour to prayer. It's this whole idea that I'm going to do absolutely nothing and still feel like I'm helping. So, you know.
It's interesting.
Yeah. For me, it was, I just did what I normally do, which is, you know, don't leave the lights on when I leave a freaking room and, you know, that sort of thing.
Huh.
Yeah. It's one of those things for the Birkenstock crowd, the granola munching crowd, and I pass.
I almost agree with you to a certain degree, but when you think about major cities, mm-hmm. I'm talking about, I worked in San Francisco and yeah, visited Chicago, and you see all these lights on that is like, come on, you know, it's like, turn off your lights at night, and you know, thinking how much, I mean, even just here in the office at night, if we just turn our computers off and everything, that's a lot of energy that's, you know, can be used for something else or move down the grid or something like that.
But,
I don't know.
But you figure there's, I've got my calculator. Let's do a little exercise.
Okay, here he goes.
Okay.
He's been doing calculus today, folks, so look out.
Yeah, I'm in a very snarky mood because of it. Times 24. In a non-leap year.
Yes.
365 days times 24 hours.
Yeah.
8,760 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's assume that, like, nationwide, everybody shut off their power completely for that 1 hour. You go down to the basement. You just pull the switch.
Yeah.
Okay. That is still...
Sure, no, I get where you're going with this here.
That is 1/10,000th of a percent of the total power consumed. Just very, very quick and dirty. Just totally pulling numbers right out of my rectum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wrecked him, and nearly killed him.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that's assuming the most optimistic scenario, that everybody completely cut their power for that 1 hour in the country. You know, and I know, that did not happen. You know.
No.
So it's this big symbolic gesture. A lot of people feel like, oh, look at me, I did something.
But I think I just made the point, though, to say just doing something helps a little bit. Now, I'm not talking about saving the planet. You know how I feel about that. The Earth is fine. You know, I go with Carlin on that one. The Earth is fine.
If we're concerned about energy consumption and global warming and things like that, then
it's called climate change now.
Climate change, global warming, potato, whatevs. If we're truly concerned about that, then crap like Earth Hour simply just gets in the way. You know, let's dispense with the useless symbolic gestures, the hands across America type stuff. Let's roll up our sleeves and actually find productive ways to solve these problems.
Well, sure, because the point on that is that as soon as the next day goes, pointless use of energy, not just within, you know, blowing off gas fumes from a snow...
Exactly.
It's actually a snow thrower, not a snow blower anymore, just so you know.
Okay.
Like I'm saying, actual personal energy use that could be used for something else.
Another way to look at it, and once again, FARC.com, I think they really hit the nail on the head. The headline was, at 8:30, make sure to turn on all of your appliances, which I think is the moral of the story. You did it for an hour, then you're right back where you were. You know. The point is that the people who are really interested in actually doing something about this, you know, they're doing their thing, and then it gives a bunch of other people this happy, shiny, oh, I did something productive feeling. Meh.
Robert King at RadioAffliction.com. Question from Twitter. Do you think I could make a living teaching people how to kiss well? That's from the redhead.
Another way to phrase that question, do you think I could make a living spreading herpes?
Well, you could.
Yeah.
No. Okay, that's a legitimate question, because how many relationships are ruined or don't start off with? Here's two people that could be soulmates, but here's one thing that doesn't, you know, they click well personality-wise and stuff like
that. If that's the one problem in the relationship, there's actually other problems in the relationship that aren't being addressed, man. It's just that's a convenient excuse to walk away.
Yeah. I think that, because that's a dangerous thing, because if you kiss well, You better have other things to it, because people can take assumptions from that. Now, I go with by the old quote that goes on it, that a kiss may not be the truth, but it's what you wish were true. And women take that to heart. So if you know how to kiss well, you better mean what you, because they'll say, oh, why did you kiss me like that? Oh, mama.
But, you know, that's
not that I have ever experienced.
I think that's another one of those within certain boundaries. Beauty being in the eye of the beholder there, because, you know, one woman's Don Juan in terms of kissing is another woman's, he used way too much tongue, it was way too moist, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it's really...
I think you might want to check in with her and get some counseling on...
I've never really had complaints, man.
Yeah. Anyway, so yes, I'll keep my eye on other questions here. So that was a question from Twitter there. So Radio Affliction, I'm sorry, twitter.com/Radio Affliction.
No, Twitter, you can't make a living teach people how to kiss.
That's funny. All right,
let me read one of these. Let me see if we got anything good here.
That's what I was looking for. But...
This may be a newbie question, but is it retweet when you simply copy somebody else's tweet and put an RT in front of it? Is that a?
That's all.
Done. Could I make a living answering people's questions on Twitter?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Now I'll sit here and answer people's questions.
Well, you know, they are doing, oh gosh, what is it called? Like, I know Amazon has a service where, you know, you can pose a question or, you know, drop a piece of, like something that you're researching, and people will answer that and collect like a minuscule amount of money for doing so. It's kind of that same idea, just kind of messed with. I don't know. I got nothing.
As usual.
Yeah.
I'm Twittering on that we're doing the podcast. Right.
Yeah. Let's see.
That's the sound of Twittering.
I don't know, man. I think I left my funny pants at home today.
Yeah, you're grumpy today.
Well, I'm grumpy both days, but...
I think you're upset now. Oh, shoot, do I still have it up?
Yeah.
Why am I upset this time?
Vince Shalami.
Yeah, I'm brokenhearted about that.
Vince Shalami. Does anyone know who Vince Shalami is?
Pronounced Shlomi.
Shlomi?
Yeah, it rhymes with blow me. I mean,
dude!
Beth's gonna get it out.
Vince Shlomi. Sure, Shlomi. Not salami, Shlomi.
Shlomi.
All right. Better known as the ShamWow guy or Slut Chop.
Yeah.
I actually did hit the counter. I hope I'm not making any noise. First, before we get on to Slap Chop guy here, I need to apologize. Because first, there was the tapping on the counter.
Smacking the counter.
And then the last show, it was the... going up and down. So I got this piece of paper in my hand. Hopefully that's not, because I don't know if I've been doing that or not, because I've been folding it into four different directions here. So I apologize for all the noise I make while bringing you this fine program. Okay, Vince
Shlomi.
Bad man.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the world coming to now when your people who bring you this fine... Well, it's not so much an infomercial. It's just a regular commercial. It's just like a 30-second to a minute commercial, isn't it? Usually of either ShamWow or...
Or the Slap Chop. They're both short commercials. I don't think
The people who bring you these fine products, who are recommending these products for you, you're going to lead a better life. I mean...
Absolutely.
Because now we're only going to talk about this for 5 minutes, because we can't do this all day. Okay?
Exactly.
So...
Are you following me there, Peter?
I'm following... Yeah. But apparently, he beats up prostitutes.
Well, that's what happens.
Allegedly.
Well, when you allegedly don't love his nuts, he is allegedly going to kick your face in. But, you know...
No.
It looks like he was on the receiving end of a hooker beat.
Oh, now, see, now, hold on.
I think she won that fight, man.
Well, when I don't have his photo. I've looked at both photos, and obviously it looks like something was done to him.
Yeah.
Apparently, biting of the tongue and not letting go. Apparently, it was just the straight deal.
Can we nominate her for the Presidential Medal of Freedom?
This might be crazy psycho things. I don't know. I mean, I don't...
That implies that psychos have no use or benefit to society.
And that all prostitutes are. Some are just legitimate. Give me the money. Let's go. Okay. Good night. See you later. Hello. It's a business deal.
Yeah.
But I, you know, for guys like me, you know, they say that love will capture me, but not unless you give it free. But it's never free, you know. So
yeah,
never needed a prostitute though.
No,
I've never had to go to that extreme. But I'm not the Fonz either, and just snap my fingers and say, "Come on, woman." Well, anyway, anyway, she's biting the tongue, won't let go, and so in order. You can't go, play like oh. Yeah. Has to punch repeatedly, and so slap chop. No, and I have a good idea for a Saturday Night Live sketch now, too. So you see Mr. Slap Chop guy in the prison cell, and, you know, doing some of the, saying some of the lines like, you know, I can only been here for 10 minutes because I can't do this all day type of thing.
Stop having a boring shiv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, looks like I'm getting a new cellmate now. Oh, who's my new cellmate? Hi, Billy Mays here!
Oh, that, and see, Billy Mays is just all the proof that you need that there really is nothing wrong with your television when it switches from programming to commercials. It's just people in commercials can't control the volume of their voice. That's all that proves.
So once again, folks, please, please, please don't beat your hookers. That's... Even if they bite your tongue. Because, yeah. Come on. I mean, if you're having to pay for it, if this isn't going to be just a wham-bam, see you later. There's got to be some incentive for them as well.
Yeah,
besides the fact that they're getting paid.
Whatever it is. I mean, yeah, the last thing you really want, especially, you know, if you've got your eye on, you know, if you're out in the public eye, is to be caught with hookers.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I don't care one way or the other what people do, you know, in private. That's...
No, I want my ShamWow people to be straight-laced. Yeah.
Well, all I know is if Elliot Spitzer got away with it, then Vince the
He didn't get away with it, though.
Well, he lost his career over it, but, you know, had it been an average Joe, you know, conceivably he could have.
But everyone, though, seems to think, okay, he's a crumb bum, but he was a high-class crumb bum. He didn't go to just a... Those are high-class...
I don't care how much he paid for it. It still makes him a John.
Yeah, I know.
That's the technical term. For a person who...
But it's not some girl who's going to go and bite your tongue off, though. It's a,
I don't know, man. I heard Spitzer liked it rough.
Anyway. Yeah. Question from Twitter.
Ooh.
What is your favorite car if money was no object? I've got an answer for that.
Now, see, this is the question that used to drive me nuts. Because, as we've established, I'm pretty much a boring guy. But no, seriously, I'm actually waiting for the hybrid Altima to come out.
Oh, you know, okay.
Assuming Nissan ever gets off their duff and, you know, actually finalizes the deal. I mean, my God, I remember, 2004, 2005. Oh, we're going to get it for 2006. Yeah, it's still not here. So.
I'm still going to go with the Toyota Corolla. I have the Subaru Loyale, and I won't need another car for quite a while yet. But I've had two Toyota Corollas, and... Even if money was no object, I'm saying the money will go to other uses.
So there you go. Absolutely.
One other thing I noticed this weekend, and this is more of a sports affliction question if I ever get down to doing that, and then having CK. But I think it's an important question for a non-sports fan like you.
That works.
And non-sports doesn't even classify, is not, I don't know if that means to non-sports people, because you are the ultimate... We get you to watch sports, but we have to tie you down and tase you. Yeah.
play some Ludwig Vaughn for me in the background.
So
no, not the Ludwig Vaughn. That's
of
not,
all
yeah.
The sports, then to talk about with this, then to them, okay. One of the more popular ones. Sorry, we had a little moment there.
They're completely distracted.
But we're fine now. Golf.
Yay.
And here's the thing about golf. You go, you hit the ball, and then you go after it, and then you hit it again. But golf has this reigning superstar, Tiger Woods. And apparently... According to television ratings and everything else, if Tiger's not there, the ratings are just gone. So Tiger suffered a knee injury last year after his win at the U.S. Open, and he came back a couple weeks ago, and golf kind of returned for a little bit, but then he didn't win. So now, it's kind of like this past weekend then, you can say, oh, Tiger's only five shots back. And so I turned channels on Sunday then because I didn't want to watch basketball. And I saw that, you know, Tiger Woods was like one shot away with four to play. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's over. He's going to win. Yeah. And it was a nice dramatic moment. Came down to the last shot. And sure enough, he wins. But golf is back and da-da-da-da-da. And no, yeah, Tiger Woods, da-da-da. And I'm like, I called it. I called it 2 hours mm-hmm. before or an hour or so. Where's the drama in that? How could a non-sportsman be kind of even interested in golf if you already know?
Well, that's just it. I'm not. No, I mean, you know, for a while, you know, he was this phenomenal young golfer, came out strong and just started whooping butt. And that was kind of cool.
And that's fine. It's nice to have a face or faces even, though, too, especially when an individual sport like that that's done at on a group level type of thing. But when there's this absolutely no chance. I mean, in this particular even case, I mean, he made a great putt to win it. But this is the fact that the other people, or the other guy he was kind of up against, lost rather than he won it, really. But I don't know. How can I maintain my interest? Now going into it, everyone's going to talk, is Tiger the favorite to win the Masters, which is the first big tournament of the year type of thing? And I'm just like, you know, sure. And then everyone's going to get all excited now that it's Tiger, 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 Tiger. And then he won't be there in the final day or something like that, and then no one will watch. Mm-hmm. And here's one of the most, you know, incredible courses that you can ever see, especially when you see it now in HD and all that stuff. I mean, Augusta's got a whole bunch of things wrong with it. Anyway, Augusta, golf, I don't know.
You're saying there was a lot wrong with Augusta.
Oh, I mean, it's you know, it's...
But
it's,
it looks great in
HD. Oh, it's beautiful. It's just, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd ever want to golf there. There's just too many tricks, and then it's just ridiculous. But, you know, oh, it's cool. Anyway, Tiger Woods, he's a winner.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, I can I try that again?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, let me try that again.
Go for it.
So it looked for a while as if Tiger was going to draw a lot of new people to the game of golf, a lot of people who otherwise would not be interested. And
all they did was draw them to him.
Yeah.
Not to golf itself, because if he's not there, no one's, I'm going to root for Mickelson now, or I'm going to, Sergio Garcia or something like that. No.
And see, that's the
risk.
It's
Tiger or no one.
That's
And then Tiger has also put on this other, I have been making noise with the paper too, again, I can tell.
Stop it. Taser thing.
The other thing that Tiger's done is this annoying group of people to go every time Tiger hits the ball, whether he's 500 yards away mm-hmm. or putting 2 inches away, to go, whoosh, in the hole! It's just an annoying thing that's gone on. Anyway.
Well, see, I think this is the risk you run when you have only one face that you really associate with the sport.
Yeah.
At least one public face. You know? I'm not saying that there aren't other golfers out there that are great, maybe even some that could potentially be better than Tiger. I would never know because I don't follow golf.
Sure.
You know?
But you have no incentive, though, either.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, hence why I think, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, I think that if golf, you know, if whatever governing body that governs golf wants to get more people
the
involved.
PGA.
The PGA.
Yeah.
Okay. Learn something new every day.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
If the PGA wants to get more people to watch the game, to attend matches, you know, that sort of thing, they're going about it wrong. Putting all their effort behind, you know, one person.
I doubt it, though, because he brings millions of dollars for sponsors and stuff like this. So,
sure.
But if his leg falls off tomorrow, who knows what happens.
Then nobody watches, and then sponsors stop paying.
This question from Twitter is price matching killing the retail industry?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Because I think there are some stores that don't engage in price matching.
Yeah.
And they build their business on service or, you know, other attributes. You know, this idea that, you know, the economists call it false savings. This idea that you're going to save a bunch of money and that, you know, the price of a product is all you should really be looking for. That, you know, if we're talking something like tube socks.
Yeah.
Then, okay, yeah, sure, maybe. If we're talking, you know, high-end electronics, let's say, LCD TVs, cell phones, whatever, then lowest price isn't necessarily going to get it. You know, I'd want a retailer that has a reputation for selling quality products and has a reputation for handling, you know, customer service issues.
Well, obviously, price matching didn't do anything for Circuit City because I believe they always said they would match any advertiser's price.
And people stayed away in droves because Circuit City was the eighth ring of hell.
Well, okay, so that goes to your customer service argument there, which I'm more inclined to agree with. So it's a combination of factors. Of course, it's not just one thing. So if you're asking, is price matching killing it? I'd say price matching is killing it. Web sales is killing it.
But see,
poor customer service is killing it.
But this also assumes that retail is dying. You know,
on a scale, in some regards, it is.
Well, maybe it's dropping in scale, but I wouldn't necessarily call that death. So I don't think retail is actually going anywhere anytime soon because there are simply too many people who can't or won't order something over the internet. They have to go. They have to touch it. They have to smell it. They have to have it right then and there. They can't wait 3 to 5 days for it to be shipped. However...
Well, the only thing about that is, though, even retail locations are having to do this, too, though. I mean, because they can't – you can't compete with what the web can offer. On the web, it's always in stock.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a little while to get to. So if it's something that you don't have to have this very instant, the web, you can't – you know, anytime you're trying to do something that's new, you know, it kind of rubs people the wrong way. Because I remember – when you get in line and you'd want to pay with something with a credit card, when normally you would just give them cash, you know, like $5, like you get a couple sodas and a thing. And, you know, you used to have to wait for the telephone line. You know, now everything's just, you know, done.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm getting really, really close to if someone, when I'm waiting in line for something and then they get up there and they write a check, I'm about really to take some hard salami and, you know, is I don't know. I know there's been a lot of things about identity theft and everything, but I still think that when somebody pays by check, they're hiding something. They're trying to pass it on for a couple of days.
Yeah, they're hiding the fact that, you know, right now I don't have any money.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Well, no, I think there are some people that come in and say that's all they pay by because they can keep track of it, I guess. I don't know. But I think checks are for mailing.
Yeah, checks need to go away.
I don't think they need to go away.
No, they need to go away. Because you know what? As long as they're out there, you're always going to get people who feel the compulsion to use them freaking everywhere. And then, you know what's worse than being behind somebody who's trying to pay by check? Is being behind somebody who's trying to pay by check in a place that does not take checks.
Nah.
Because, you know, they've got signs all over the place, we do not accept checks. Cash and credit, blah, blah, blah.
Bars now. What the heck?
Yeah. and you've got some, you know, you've got some... Boy, there really isn't a word I can use for these folks that won't get me bleeped. You got some chucklehead.
Chucklehead. Good chucklehead. Creative. Yeah, that's good.
You've got some chucklehead.
Keeps this on your toes.
Who's gonna sit there and pay by check? And when they figure out, you know, when they're told, no, you can't pay by check, it takes even longer because then they've got to throw the obligatory temper tantrum. Why won't you let me pay by check?
Yeah. No. When grocery stores get to that point, because I suppose. They don't get charged a fee for them. Maybe they do. See, credit cards, you do. That's the thing. That's why most people would really rather not use them. But then, on the other hand, they just bump up the price 2.5%, whatever it is, anyway.
Cover the charge.
Yeah, so, I don't know. And, okay, we were talking about the $2 bill last time, and I think it should be used regularly.
Sure.
Right, you know, get it out of your hair, blow the dust off it, and it'll boost the economy. We have got to get out of this mindset to say that somehow it sounds better that $89.99 is better than $90.
Yeah.
We will lose our precious penny, which technically, it's not a penny. Penny, a pence, is an English coin.
Sure.
It's 1 cent coin pieces.
Okay.
Do you see it say penny anywhere on the...
Not at all. But then again, does it say dime on a dime?
Yes, it does.
Shocking.
I am holding in my Liberty 1 dime. I am 1 cent.
Hmm.
And... I see Thomas Jefferson. 5 cents. It's not a nickel either. It's 5 cents. Quarter dollar. Ooh. It's a quarter dollar.
Yeah. I don't get worked up, you know, by what it says on the money. As long as I can go in and buy my lottery tickets and Top Ramen.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, that's good, but I think we can round this up a penny.
Yeah.
I think we can, and we can move on with life.
You know, another thing I'd like to see, won't happen, but I'd like to see this, you know, this insistence on just putting, like, the retail price on things, you know, go away. How about we just, you know, put the price plus tax so people actually know what it costs? It's just a little pet peeve. I know, you know, for companies that do business, like, nationwide and each state's got their own tax rate, it would be a pain in the butt. Wah. You know? They do business in states like Nevada where you have to show the price plus tax.
Well, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. No.
No?
No. No sales tax. It is what it is. Because you're basing it on the tax of the subtotal of... so if you're getting multiple products, if it shows what this product individually is plus tax, it's going to be different if you add 4 or 5 items together. So it's taxed on the subtotal of the...
I may have to play with some numbers on this.
Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. I'm the host of the Radio Affliction. I'm Peter Clay. I'm joined by Robert King today. And now I've lost all my questions, so I think we're probably done. Unless you have any other questions for me.
No, not really any questions for you.
Comments?
I did have something I kind of wanted to talk
about. Barbara wants to talk, folks.
Another piece I happened to catch, like, the last 2 minutes while I was driving home from classes the other night. I believe it was an English professor on NPR talking about, you know, the whole AIG thing and... You know, this butthurt express that everybody seems to be riding.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was kind of looking at, you know, a couple of things that keep cropping up in, like, you know, whether you're watching Fox News or CNN or, you know, CSNBC or, you know, Barney and Friends, and they happen to talk about the AIG bailout.
Yeah.
You know, you see two words that crop up again and again and again and again, populist and rage. And he was kind of, you know, looking at them, and the moral of his story was that, you know, to call what's going on in this country right now a populist rage, you know, implies that people are being played on an emotional level, and that the result is this, like, psychotic anger, you know, grab the pitchforks and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know earlier when we were talking about retail, you know, the questioner, you know, the question that you read there, I think the questioner used the phrase, you know, is price matching killing retail? And I kind of took exception to that because it implies that retail is dying. You know, and it actually gets to, like, the root of the word. Do you see what I'm saying?
Sort of.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you about that, because I think we talked about it last week, you know, about the outrage. And I was upset about where the outrage was coming from. Congress calling all this an outrage, pot calling kettle black type of thing. So
yeah,
it was
abuses of power.
Yeah. So it's one thing if AIG is taking the taxpayers' money, but then you've got Congress, which takes taxpayers' money, takes corporates' money, takes lobbyists' money, which they...
And, you know, we had kind of talked about that, you know, politicians taking taxpayer money and doing stupid things with it as well and all that jazz. But, you know, Lewis Black... was talking about, was it Comcast? One of these, Adelphia, I think it was, you know, telecommunications company that had been, you know, bankrupted right around the same time as Enron. And he said that, you know, when you get to that level of greed, you need a new word because greed just doesn't do it. Can't really repeat what he said, but I think you get the idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, I've been sitting there kind of tossing it back and forth, kind of mulling it over, and yeah, I think where I stand is, yeah, I'm kind of ticked off about the whole AIG thing. But this is the whole, you know, this is that kind of, it's anger, sure, but it's not going out throwing things around, throwing a temper tantrum. It's more, you know, I want to see some changes.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how to, without understanding, I don't think any of us really understand how this is. We just assume that they're crumb bums and stuff like that. But I think there's got to be more to it than that. Because everyone thinks the cable company is a big ripoff and they're just out to get you type of thing.
Sure.
And having worked in that environment, to understand all the things that are going, not just technological, what it takes to go from the head end to every single house in a community and its outlying communities, that's a lot of work.
I'm not saying
and a lot of expense. And not to mention, here's a little trick that I learned. Here's negotiations with ESPN to cable companies. Here's ESPN saying, hi, here's our price for retransmitting. They just hand them an envelope and say, that there's no negotiation. Okay, that's it.
Okay.
And that's about a good third of your cable bill, whether you use ESPN or not.
That's one of the reasons why I don't have cable, is because I'm paying for a bunch of stuff I don't need.
Yeah. Now,
the cable
plus, you're paying for service plus commercials.
Yeah.
So you're paying for programming plus commercials. I've always loved that. That's why I podcast.
Well, see, the cable companies make this argument. You know, there's been legislation wending its way through Congress for about 15 years. Mandating that cable companies provide what's called a la carte programming, where you call them up and say, you know, I want these channels, only these channels, and just these channels, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Keeps fighting it.
Yeah, but you know who else doesn't want it, though? The networks don't want it.
Oh, sure.
And the networks says, everyone's going to want to pick ESPN, or everyone's going to want to, no, you know, and you just a complete bloodbath. Because, look, we've seen American movie classics go to AMC to try and create a greater audience. We've seen Game Show Network go to GSN to try and, you know, they simplify and create a greater audience, not sticking with their niche market. And now, the latest is now sci-fi is like Sci-Fi or something. They're changing it somehow.
The spelling is still pronounced sci-fi.
Yeah,
it's
but
like S-Y-F-Y.
Yeah, something
but
stupid.
You know, you're talking about changing names. Are they changing the content of their programming?
Yes, they're trying to dumb down the programming. So American Movie Classics went from old-time movie classics to Revenge of the Nerds 4 with commercials. So edited
it's
movies.
It's not a crappy movie.
Edited
for content.
With commercials, yeah.
Oh,
to create a greater audience. And you wonder why, and I'm not sure if, you know, if podcasting and everything will ever take
me. Stop, like, recruiting the best and the brightest in corporate America and just start giving jobs to, you know, people with water wings and helmets?
Well, you know what? It has to be working because AMC is still around, unless it's one of those things where the cable companies own 24% of it, each one of it, so it's just, you know, there to fill the hole. You know, it doesn't really matter what's on, you know.
See, that's the thing that galls me, is that, you know, there's so much decent content that's, you know, potentially out there. And
there's a lot of that's not. And I'm not saying the Radio Affliction's the greatest thing out there or Good Morning Madison or any of those things, but we're trying.
Yeah.
And it's still the question I always get is, Peter, if you're so good at radio, why don't you work at a radio station? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, one, been there, done that, and two, why? You know, because, or let's just say I wanted to create a radio station. One, okay, let's just say I wanted to work at a radio station. Here's your 2 to 4 hour block. Here's your program list. Here's your commercials. I get maybe, 28 minutes of program to then whatever's left, 32 minutes of commercials. It's not quite that bad in radio. On talk shows it is.
Oh.
But it's about 4 minutes a block. So, you know, 3 to 4, depending on how good a station you are or what time frame you're at. Because when I worked the graveyard shift, it was like 30 seconds of commercial there. And, oh, hey, we're back. Okay. Type of thing. So I'm in charge of my own content. I can basically say what I want to say. I restrict what we say on here just because you got to say chucklehead. You know, you got to be creative. You
oh,
know?
Absolutely.
So it's one of those things
think
where...
outside the box.
Yeah. Otherwise, absolutely. You would need that to, you know, to find yourself entertaining or something
like
that.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm just another guy who, you know, swears in a podcast.
Exactly.
Yay.
If you want to get your own podcast, or what you're thinking about doing, and I support you in that, you
but
do
even,
say whatever you want.
Even,
that's fine.
Even then, I'm going to have to be careful about the profanity because, let's face it, that right there is a game. It's, you know, an all-ages sort of crowd. And the last thing I want is to have to explain to someone's parents why little Billy now knows what fisting is.
Yeah, I guess. Well, that seems to be the only restriction that I see because I've worked with a streaming video, mm-hmm. and the only thing that's really off limits is sexual, you know, material type
yeah.
of thing. Language doesn't seem to be a problem, and I have actually less of a problem with language than other things because I don't want you to go out and say poopy pants when you're describing a game where you're taking a knife and cutting people's heads off. You know, I don't want to be too much of a hypocrite at this.
No,
but
this is more of a, you know, this is a personal decision. This isn't being, you know, forced on you.
I've always I grew up in the things where that it was always funnier to push the envelope rather than to open it or
sure.
push the line and then cross it. So that's just me. If I come to a point where I want to try, I want to have and I have to look at because I want to respect archive.org and even TalkShoe to a certain degree because of their generosity of bandwidth. But to find one that, you know, where language isn't a problem, that's why I'm thinking about the sports affliction because there'll be just something that will just completely fly me off the handle.
Yes.
I always look for the positive outcome. I'm not here to rant and rave, and which most people do on blogs. I'm always looking out for the, but for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, maybe a minute, just go off and then just see what happens and then feel good about myself. So the question of the day to end the show.
Okay.
Comes from Twitter.
Yay, Twitter.
Would you function differently in your business if you felt success was inevitable? Would you function differently?
I think that's what got us into the mess that we're in, actually.
Yeah.
This idea that we're too big to fail or, you know, hey, home values keep going up and up and up and up and up or... You know.
I never thought about it that way. I guess my thing about it is like I've been doing this for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think that I'm always looking for... When I think about when I first started this, it started as handing out cassette tapes mm-hmm. to everyone. You know, recording, getting people together, recording. We'd record fake commercials and stuff. Then going to streaming it onto a server in my cousin's garage. To podcasting, then to adding video
mm-hmm.
and video streaming and all the different things that I do now. And then the podcasting then, too, then using iTunes and blogs and stuff instead of trying to, you know, maintain a website and everything and traffic. And, oh, jeepers. Link exchanges and blog exchanges and blah, 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 blah. So it to me is always never just settling on something.
One
and,
technology and
yeah.
saying this is it. Because,
yeah.
you know, in your case, you've got what you want to do locked in.
And how do you define success? Because I'm just amazed that there's 20 subscribers right now. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's not one of those things where I want to be a rock star that I want a million people to... But,
sure.
you know, I have a voice. I'm trying to, you know, spread out there. I'm actually more about helping other people
mm-hmm.
In this mess than anything else. So... just as long as I'm just allowed my little segment right here is all I'm asking for. So, would I do anything differently? So if I'm already, you know, considering myself a success at least at this level, trying to take it to the next level, if I was assured, oh gosh, I don't know. That's the thing. Because it was one of those things, you know, I know what I meant to mention up, because they keep asking for donations on their show,
mm-hmm.
and since, I don't know, it's not that I can't, it's just that, well, you know, My contribution is to promote them, and so the show I listen to, No Agenda, with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. I think I mentioned it last week, too.
Right.
So there's a little plug for them. It's a good show. Listen to it. Where was I going with that, though?
I thought you were going to use the taser money to prop up.
No, not the taser.
Keep your hands off that taser money, Pete.
That's for a specific purpose, yes. Oh, gosh, I don't know. What? Listen to their show, and it's all good. My mind is gone right now, too. Oh, I know the one thing that I was listening to their show, and I thought was interesting. So you were talking about the AIG. They made a prediction on their show. Is watch, and you'll see that a lot of these companies that are taking bailouts, you're going to see people leaving their companies and joining these companies that the Secretary of the Treasury is setting up. To buy these toxic assets, because the company only has to purchase a certain amount, which the Federal Reserve will match, then the Treasury pays the rest. So you're going to see these companies develop. And sure enough, the, either the same day that that show broadcast or the next day, the CEO of GM mysteriously resigns.
Resigns? I think he got fired. I mean,
well, no,
resignation, but he was basically told, pack your stuff and buy.
Don't yeah, well, now the other people are saying the president was involved. You watch. Watch that guy's name. Put it on Twitter or follow it. Yeah. And you watch. He's going to be heading, or at least on the board of directors on one of these companies that. So that's one of your things to. That's the kind of stuff you get on No Agenda. You can listen to that along with the Radio Affliction. So that's one of them. So just remember to participate in the program. Comments at RadioAffliction.com. Complaints go to Robert King at RadioAffliction.com.
Bring it on. I want your hate mail.
Twitter.com/RadioAffliction. And the website is RadioAffliction.com or the RadioAffliction.blogspot.com. Love your comments. Love everything that you do. And we'd like to have you part of the program, like all the people who Twittered their questions today. That was exciting and fun. And yeah, good questions, I thought, even, too.
And, hey, if you can, you know, when you go to send that hate mail to Robert King at RadioAffliction.com, if you could go through and make sure it's, you know, grammatically inaccurate and poorly spelled, just be a bonus for me.
Bonus, even, yeah.
One of these days we'll have to, you know, compile some hate mail and do an
Well, because that was one of the things that I thought that would, did I forget her name already? Laurel or whatever it was. She made some things that I didn't necessarily agree with, because I'm going with Neil deGrasse Tyson and Alex Philippoulos or whatever, the Cal Berkeley astrophysicist, in saying that Pluto is not a planet.
Right.
And
she cited the fact that...
It is. And used big words, too.
And she was basically saying that it was, you know, like it seemed to me the gist of what she was saying is that it is because only 4% of the governing body, you know, the group of scientists that kind of make it.
That's one of her points then, too. Then there, and her point, because the chemical composition of Pluto as it, you know, would come closer to the sun, it would develop a tail, and those would be like comets.
Sure.
She brought up the fact that just about anything would, including the Earth, and I'm like, well, the Earth has much more mass, and, you know,
I'm reluctant to call that hate mail, because, first of all, no...
No, she was very, very thorough, very articulate,
and
very good blog, too.
Yeah, you know, very, very logical. You know, this is one of those...
Almost no fun.
Yeah, almost no
fun. That doesn't mean don't send it. But
send it. But, you know, for the ones that are going to Robert King at RadioAffliction.com, if you want me to respond to your hate mail, come on, guys. You know, it can't be logical and well thought out. The whole point of hate mail is...
See, and that was one thing, just to get in, we're trying to say goodbye and we keep rolling on.
We're never leaving.
I will put a link to her blog on this, but it's more, it's about her hometown in New Jersey for the most part. But if you read her
thing, there you go. She's from New Jersey. Her argument's irrelevant.
Well, yeah, pretty much. But anyway, just well thought out, well written things. I can understand why she wouldn't like Twitter, because how can you put all your thoughts in 140 characters type of thing? I can understand that.
Yeah.
My only real complaint about Twitter, like I said earlier, was how can it be about you if it's about me? And two, people are putting on there and putting quotes from other people. It's like, come on. The question is, what are you doing? You know, tell us how you feel about that. What's your massive quote? Not what Mark Twain said about something, or
unless you're
Zig
Ziglar,
or
what? Unless you're writing about Mark Twain or something, then it might be apropos to, you know, kind of discuss something like that. But even then, I don't know.
You got nothing.
I'm on the verge of, you know, the blood.
I think we finally, we finally made it.
Okay, so I'm going to go take my high blood pressure medication.
He's Robert King. I'm Peter Clay. I want to thank you for listening. If you're lost in Wisconsin, I hope you're found soon. But you know what? At least you know where you are. We'll see you next time on the Radio Affliction.